It's that time again. Yeah. Ya la hora. You know, power hour.
To make sure that USB is turned up. Tune in for an hour, maybe more, that's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause some churches never teaching shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit, yeah. That means you take a loss if you spray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it's say what it say. Ya viene el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento, la Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento, no te pierdas en doctrina como viento, estudia y ora y aplica, tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita, go to the restream, make sure we're IOIC 2.
Tune in, it's the power hour, learn your family history, don't be a coward, yeah, tune in, it's the power hour, I said,
Daniel, did you hear me?
Yeah, when I went to Restream, we have it turned on, but IUIC in the classroom too said offline.
Alright, mute it up, I'll see you soon.
Get back on.
Turn it off and turn it on.
Come on over. Looking forward to the show.
Yeah.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I'm Deacon Yahshua.
Officer Shia.
Officer Tobias.
Oh, praises. He's trying to hype us up with the sound effects because we're not on the main channel. People are going to be looking for us, man. What's going on?
We should be good now.
Yeah? Let me refresh.
Yes, sir.
Let me refresh. Okay, it's there now. And we hit them all late. Goodness gracious. Hey, let's do the intro over. Come on, let's do it real quick. Guys, yeah, sit down.
I'm coming.
All right, and then we'll explain what's going on.
And we make up. No, I'm just kidding.
And I'll form the head. Shalom, Israel, shalom. The spirit of Abiel was in the production booth tonight. Those of you who watch us on the IUIC in the classroom too. We were not able to queue you up, and then nobody, I guess there's no checks in place to make sure that it's showing up until the host of the show comes in and checks it.
Right.
After we already got the music going to get us started. Oh, man. So some of you didn't miss anything. I didn't want to start. And then, because, you know, people watch us on the Phoenix page. People watch us on the classroom page. Oh, wait. So have we been on IUIC TV?
Yeah, we always turn that one on.
I'll take your word for it.
Dang.
Facebook,
yes.
Yeah,
both of them.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yes. All right. We'll see.
Thou sayest.
Shalom to the 12. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus. Couple of housekeeping things. Let's not forget, along the bottom on your streamer there, you can call in live. 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. Call in with questions or comments.
Who are you? I thought we were going to do the thing again.
Oh. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus. I am Deacon Yahshua.
Officer Shia.
Officer Tobias.
Officer Tobias. All right. Yeah, I was saying, like, most of, you know, we get, like, a bulk of the people watch us on IUSC in the classroom, too. That's where they learn. That's where they know to find us. And then it wasn't streaming. They only had the Phoenix side streaming. Gave the call-in number. Let's not forget to donate to the Booster Club, all right? IUIC.fundraising@israelunite.org. The travel plans are in full effect, all right? We're trying to get more trips out. You know, now they're coming up with this monkeypox stuff. Who knows what they're going to do?
Is it something new?
Well, monkeypox isn't new, but now they're talking about it spreading and they're watching it. And, you know, zoonosis. Oh, is this another animal-based?
They're playing with animals again.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that so far, like, the cases supposedly have been passed between homosexual men.
Wow.
Wow.
Like they're sleeping with monkeys to.
Well, first they were saying that, but then they're saying like it's a man slept with another man that had the monkeypox, and that's why they're getting the monkeypox.
So it's an STD.
No.
They said it's not an STD, but you know they say a lot of things.
Right.
So who knows, man? Who knows with this demon? But donate to the Booster Club because the traveling is opened up. They just Deacon Isaac just got back, Captain Gedaliah from Africa. All right, we want to send men back out there again. You know, we got the school that's being built that's almost done, is what I understand. I believe at some point this summer, Lord's will, we may be opening that. So it's a lot going on. We got the Northern Kingdom trips that do happen every month to IUIC PR, Puerto Rico, and IUIC DR, Dominican Republic. As well as, like I said last week, we're looking into exploring Cuba again in the fall, Lord's will, that Biden said he's changing things up. And then we're also looking into
Cuba in the fall?
Cuba in the fall, Lord's will.
Lord's will. And Lord's then, will I can make that one.
And then we're looking into Ecuador or Guatemala. We're not sure yet.
That'd be long.
Let's go.
Yeah, we're trying to do one of those soon, Lord's will. So we'll see what happens. So don't forget to do that. Also, while you're listening to us, head on over to if you're watching on IUIC Classroom 2, head on over to IUIC Phoenix on YouTube, and you can subscribe and like there. All right, you can pop back over if you prefer watching us on IUIC Classroom 2. That's fine. Also at IUIC Phoenix on Instagram, at the Lost 144K on Facebook, at IUIC Phoenix on Twitter. We also have IUIC Phoenix, was it IUIC Arizona? That's where we have it on Facebook.
No, IUIC Phoenix.
It's IUIC Phoenix also.
Yes, sir.
Okay. IUIC Phoenix, right? And then we have the Tucson page as well. So many things that I could have spoke about. And I had seen something on a social media feed, and it's this guy that I used to follow for fitness, but he talks, he's gotten into like self-help a little bit. But he, every now and then he says something that like sparks something, and I'm like, you know, he's Catholic and, you know, pro-America type of pro-Trump type of thing and all that. But I don't know if he's Jake or not. Elliot Hulse. I don't know if you know about him, Elliot Hulse. Mm-hmm. Used to be a big strength camp channel, gave a lot of good advice on fitness and stuff. But anyway, occasionally he posts something interesting. And
so Elliot what?
Elliot Hulse. Elliot Hulse. He looks Jake, but he's married to Edom if he is Jake, that's for sure.
Oh, Hulse. I see.
So, you know, he goes into some good stuff. Like he's into like the manly stuff now, like that men need to be men. Women need to play their role, and
he does look Jake,
you know, masculinity and all that, you know, good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And occasionally he says something that makes a lot of sense. And he was talking about social engineering. And I said, man, I remember that when I took sociology, social engineering. I said, we got to talk about social engineering a little bit. So I started doing some research, and I said, we got to talk about social engineering because I believe firmly that's what's happening. Oh, someone said Elliot Hulse is Zebulon. Is he really? Wow. He married to Edom, though, that's for sure. His wife is Edom, and he's Catholic. And he all caught up in the Americanism.
Wow.
Yeah. But I had him for years because I liked his advice, on strength. Like, he's not, like, just – like, he wasn't just into bodybuilding. It was, like, strength training, like, you know. Good stuff on, like, the big power moves and stuff. But anyway, let's look up the definition of social engineering. I'm going to explain why we're going to go over this. And I know the title's probably not as flashy as the titles have been the past couple weeks.
Right.
I know the titles get people drawn in, right? I mean, sometimes I'm real good with them. Sometimes I don't know.
Yeah.
I wish we had better title people.
Oh.
And Mariah used to give really good titles.
Yeah,
us.
He did.
Yeah.
But then, like, we don't get nothing until, like, 5:30.
Did you pop a beer there? I saw, like, some foam pop up. Like, what are you? Oh, it's a Celsius. All right.
Hey, well, we don't get nothing until like 5:30, and we're like, oh, what do we do?
Because sometimes I don't have it until 5:30.
I know, so it's like...
Yeah, sometimes I don't know what the hell I'm going over.
5:30
to like,
6.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know what I'm going over. It's right there. So let's pull up social engineering. Let's talk about this.
Wow.
Let's talk about this. Social engineering. Go ahead, read that for me.
Social engineering. The use of centralized planning in an attempt to manage social change and regulate the future development and behavior of a society.
Mm, so you read that, you're like, oh, yeah, it's a very scientific-y definition.
Mm-hmm.
Read it again.
The use of centralized...
So you got to read between the lines. Centralized planning means that there's an elite group that have an agenda, right? When you hear that, centralized planning, mm-hmm. that means there's a collective somewhere that has an agenda. So they have an agenda, and it's a collective, right? Like you saw Doctor Strange and the Illuminati, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a collective, all right, where they do this centralized planning, right? Come on.
In an attempt to manage social change.
So they want to manage social change, come on.
And regulate the future development and behavior of a society.
So this is the nice scientific-y way where they throw it in your face. And if you want to sound like you're not into conspiracy theories and stuff, then you would use terms like this, social engineering.
Mm.
And basically what it means is there's a power elite that wants to influence how society moves and in what direction they move in,
mm-hmm.
right? And sociologists are aware of this. They teach this in colleges and in academia.
Mm.
And it's called social engineering. And just like anything else, there's micro and there's macro. So there's a global agenda. There's an agenda in each country. There's social engineering as far as, for example, I'll give you an example of social engineering. The Indian schools, which we've gone over on this show.
Right.
There was a collective of Edomites mm-hmm. that were centralized, and in their planning and attempt, and what was their goal? Kill the Indian, save the man, all right? They wanted to manage social change and regulate the future development and behavior of a society, they tell you. That society that they wanted to do was the tribe of Gad and Reuben, all right, the mm-hmm. Israelites. And they wanted to alter their behavior to make them more dependent on them, less resilient and less dependent on themselves, less warrior-like
right.
in their way. And that's why they facilitated many of the things that they did, right? First killing of the buffalo, right?
Yes.
They said, listen, and you read that in Deuteronomy 28, is it 32? Where
not,
it talks about...
My sons and my daughters.
Which is the one that talks about the cat, the ass, and the cattle and all of that? Let's read that real quick. You know, it's in the 30s, no?
It's like right there.
It's in the Bible.
It's 31.
It's 31. Oh, it was right before it. Okay, read that.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 31. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes.
Right, thy ox is dealing with, like, the bison, all right? Any type of cattle like that, right? Thy ox shall be slain before thine eyes. Come on.
And thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them.
Right. So this this happened to all the tribes in different ways throughout history. Mm-hmm. But very specifically, you look at the history of Gad.
Mm-hmm.
They were, especially what they called the Plains Indians, they were highly dependent on the buffalo. Not just for food, they used the whole animal. Like if you really look into it, like if you go into the museums or you look into history, they used the whole animal. Like, that they
yes.
would use the skins for clothing, to cover their tents, for blankets.
Yes.
They would use the bones, the organs,
the hoof,
medicinal thing, like the whole thing.
Crazy, like all kinds of stuff.
Yes. So they had a lot of respect to the animal because they knew how much it was integral to society for them. So in part of this social engineering and steering them as a people towards what they wanted to, they said, hey, let's wipe out their bison.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And there's pictures of that. You'll see, like, the Edomite settlers with all the bones of the oxen.
Mm-hmm.
And they mass slaughtered them in an attempt to make them more dependent on them. They put the tribe of Gad into a welfare state. And once you take away that independence, you start to take away the level of resistance, right? Because one of the most primal things that we have, we'll show that in a moment, one of the most primal things that we have is hunger, right? You're not taught hunger.
Right.
You're born with that, and you just know what hunger is. You don't know what it's called,
mm-hmm.
right, until you have some reasoning and some sense when you get older.
Dang.
But that's something that you're born with. You're born with hunger. And when you start messing with food, when you start messing with the supply, All right. So grow up that one. It says U.S. Slaughter, right? That one that you had right there. It says U.S. Buffalo Slaughter summarized in one shocking photo, right? And that's what we read in Deuteronomy 28:31.
Hey,
right?
Can you go down? Go back to the other X. Hit that X on that picture. And then you see that bottom left-hand corner? Look at that one. And make that full screen. Right-click it and open new.
Right. And you notice they say genocide and recovery. It took hundreds of years for them to cultivate bison again. Mm. That's why now it's like it's a little more on the expensive side if you want to eat bison. Mm. And it's a much better red meat for you as far as health. It has a great like a corn fed beef ribeye, mm-hmm. which is delicious, by the way. It's one of the best cuts of meat you can have. All right. Probably has somewhere, I don't know, 50, 60, 70, 80 grams of fat, depending on how heavy the cut is. Right. Mm-hmm. A comparable bison ribeye is like maybe 14 grams of fat for like per 8 ounces or like 12 ounces or something.
Wow.
Like that. And it's less saturated fat as well. Wow. So so Gad was able to eat this stuff and they didn't have like cholesterol
obesity
issues and obesity. Yeah. Well, no, plus cause they had to hunt it too. You know,
right.
They weren't sitting down freaking scrolling through reels on TikTok and stuff like that, you know?
Uber Eats.
Yeah, Uber Eats and things like that,
hey,
right?
This is the first time I've seen this picture here.
Yeah, I've never seen the one with the skins.
No, so this is hundreds and thousands of skins that they wasted.
Oh, that has to be thousands of,
yes.
of bison skins right
and
there.
You see
the
that?
They have it,
exactly.
How far back it goes and how high it's stacked up, right?
Exactly.
Go back to the bone one, right? That one gives you like a real look how he's standing on top of it, the bones of the
full
bison.
Screen.
I think that's the skulls, right? Can you make it any bigger?
Open it in a new tab.
Ooh, oxtail. Ooh, oxtail with rice and beans. Hey, I'll eat oxtail Benji style, slamming, and then you got to have it like Northern Kingdom style. I know a lot of you Southern Kingdom brothers and sisters think Northern Kingdom food is tacos and refried beans.
Hey, Otanio, you're getting out of hand with that, bro.
But listen, let me tell you something. Northern Kingdom food has a lot of variety in their cuisine, all right? Like, you know, you got to put some respect on that thing. A lot of your Southern Kingdom, y'all only been exposed to tacos. And don't get me wrong, tacos is bomb. Like, if they done right, tacos hit. Tacos hit.
You eat tacos all week.
You eat tacos every day, you know what I'm saying? Especially if they good, they done right.
Chicken.
But there is other types of food out there. Let me tell you, you get some savory oxtail with some rice and beans. You get some tortones on that thing. Woo! Anyway. Ox is good eating. Bison's good eating. All right. You see all the skulls there that they have. I think that's just the skulls.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
That's just the skulls. And so they got the horns and the skulls. Thousands. So it was a genocide on the bison. And part of that, go back to the definition of social engineering.
That's crazy, bro.
Go back to the social engineering. Read that definition again.
The use of centralized planning in an attempt to manage social change and regulate the future development and behavior of a society.
So one of the things that they did, so what happens is the planning can have many things, right? Later, if remind me later if I don't bring it out about Psalms 83 and the crafty council.
Right.
And one of the ways they wanted to enact that social change was there was a process when it came to Gad, right? And there's a lot of examples that they do this. I mean, Esau's done this to their own people that they've been in power with, but, you know, it's an Israelite show. We're going to use Israelite examples.
That's right.
All right? And Gad is one of the more prevalent ones because they came and they said, listen, these guys, they know the land. We're trying to go further and further into the West. Mm-hmm. We don't understand what's going on. We got to break their spirit. Because we need to, how do we destroy them without destroying them off the face of the earth and be able to utilize them? Because we would like them to be our guides. We would like them to be our help, show us how to live and survive on the land and all that. We've gone over that with the pilgrims on this show.
Yep.
And one of the things they first did was, you read in the curses there, and they violently took their ox, their cow, everything away from them. And then what they did is they put them on a government meat program. Mm. All right, and you can read about that as well. And it was one of the first. It was basically historically the first welfare state, right? And they put us dependent on welfare, and they got meat subsidies. But they would give them the worst of it, rotten meat, infected meat, and things like that.
Dignitan went over when Walking with the Giants and how whenever before eating or partaking in anything about given to us by the white men, we were strong, healthy, fit. Then until we started eating their meats and partaking of their stuff, that's when we got weak. Do you remember that?
Yep.
It was a long time ago. Very good class. Very good class.
Yeah, I remember Walking with the Giants.
Man.
We still joke about that. Because everybody loved that.
Walking with the Giants. It's because it's heavy. But he brought up some very good points.
No, Deacon Athan's amazing with that stuff.
Yeah,
man.
He brought some good points.
And then it went from there because it also affected their clothing. It affected everything. So they became highly dependent on the U.S. government, on the so-called white man, for their needs. And then within that, it said, okay, you want us to continue to feed you and provide for you. Your kids have to go to our schools. And then now that's how you start changing the generations. It's kind of like when you hear Bishop Yawasab say this a lot in regards to the apologists, especially Dr. Edom, Dr. White, that Edomite apologist. And he kind of very arrogantly brushed us off and was like, basically, it's all right. We'll get to their children is what he was saying.
Right.
Meaning when this generation of revolutionaries dies off, we'll just get to the children. And they know that. That's in their spirit, and that's their tactic. So part of this social engineering was, how do we affect this? So what they did with Gad was they started with things like the genocide of the oxen. They put them on subsidies or what's now today known as welfare. They put them in a dependent state. And then they said, in order to continue to maintain this dependency and for us to continue to provide for you, you got to send your kids to our schools. And we've gone over on this show to Indian schools. I still have some links where the American, and remember, we dealt with largely in Canada.
Right.
And now the U.S., and we knew the U.S. had them, but now there was an article, and it got brushed under the news cycle. But Lord's will, we'll talk about it at some point, not necessarily today, because I want to get into some other stuff. I have a lot of information. Depending on how the show flows, this might be a two-parter.
Might
be a two-parter.
Yeah, no, I saw a lot of stuff,
Well, because I was going to bring the sociology, but remember I said I got to run it back on the agents of socialization?
Man, that sociology. Yeah,
so we got to touch about that a little bit. We're going to touch about that a little bit. We'll see. We'll see how it flows. They sent them to the Indian schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the Indian schools were designed, and you're going to see it, schools are part of agents of socialization. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And the school set them up to basically manage social change within them, change the way they lived, how they dressed, all that stuff, and regulate the future development because they're always concerned about their houses continuing forever, right? Can we get that scripture? All right. And the behavior of a society because our behavior impacts them. And also get me Judith 5 as well. You know what I want. Is it 21 we're going to start at?
Yes, sir.
All right. So that you can see the social engineering process. So I know, right? The title might have seemed a little mundane. All right.
Stay with us. Follow along.
Listen, and if you miss it, make sure you spread the word about it. Because I think, especially amongst our people, it's so important that we see this stuff. You know, we gotta. I think some people, I mean, we're always going to bring the scriptural reference. But some people, you might not get them of our people right away with just the spirituality of it because they're so broken. They're so disgusted and averse to how the Bible's been used against us. Right. I think you guys were circulating a short recently about our own table becoming a stumbling block and snare. We had gone over on the show a while back.
Yep.
And that I can understand to some degree why it's hard for some people to just go, especially dealing with you come at them straight with the Bible. A lot of them ain't with that. So sometimes you got to come with a different angle, you know, and things like this might show people where we stand. Hey, someone said, I never eat no cow foot. Somebody eat some cow foot. I never eat no cow foot. Someone said, start talking about oxtails and she have one. Damn, man, you're making me want some good oxtails with some rice and beans now, everybody. Anyway, read what I told you. but their houses will continue.
The book of Psalms, chapter 49 and verse 11. Uh-huh. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever.
This is Esau, all right, that the world erroneously calls the Caucasian man, the so-called white man, all right? And he says their inward thought and how they set things up. You read the social engineering, right? They're concerned with regulating the future development and behavior of a society, but to what end? To this end. Read the scripture again.
Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever.
They're not just going to leave that to chance. They want to ensure that that thing continues forever. So they set up a perpetual cycle. And I'm going to tell you something. Even before, because another example of social engineering is the Willie Lynch.
I was just thinking of that.
Yes. Another example is the Willie Lynch. Mm. But prior to that, it's with Gad, right?
Right.
It's with Gad. And then prior to that, obviously with other Northern Kingdom, how they came and, you know, changed their behavior patterns and society and made them start to dress like Spaniards, put in their minds the colorism. That's another thing I've been meaning to go over again.
The colorism is heavy.
Yeah, I got to go over the colorism again. I have a lot of topics lined up. Just for me, I got to go with what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
You know, like, if not, it feels forced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, I got to feel hot about it.
Right.
You know, if I feel hot about it,
then it's going to be good.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be good. I'll leave that.
Bro, it's always good. It's always good. Stop.
Oh, praise to the star.
Stop.
Jesus.
Always good.
Right. Read this again. So, they're concerned with managing social chain and regulating the future development and behavior of a society because they want their society to continue forever. Go ahead, read.
Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. And their dwelling places to all generations.
Right, because they want to leave that to the next generation. That's why I say you hear Bishop Yawasab mention this a lot. That's one thing from that interview, and this was years ago, that James Edom said, James White, I think that was his name, James Edom said, and one of the things was that he was like, we're going to get the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get the kids. So he was like, hey, you know, that's fine. You know, this generation can do what they're going to do. But they're always concerned with them continuing their power, their reign.
Mm.
Someone's going to say something.
I was going to say, yeah.
like there was a thought coming.
Yeah. When you look at how they market, too, the marketing scheme, they know that they can't influence the older generation. So it's a scale that they look at. And I think it's the younger ages that are influenceable that'll pick up and run with the new things, the new ideas.
Yep.
Well, and you're 1,000% right. So they know that they can get there. This is the same reason when you read in 2 Ezra 13, how when they took the counsel among themselves to come to this side of the land, they said, let us go where never mankind dwelt, where we may there keep our statues. Let's get that real quick. Let's get that. And then I also told you Judith. Remember
I'm
that.
Holding
yeah,
Judith.
Just hold that. All right.
Hey, a sister said, oxtails are very expensive, about $32 for a large bowl.
Man, now it is.
Yeah?
Now it is, yeah. No, in New York, in the Bronx, you just go to, like, the ghetto supermarket, and you get it for a good price.
Mm.
You can't even really find it. You know what? Like, because, if you try to find that, like, in a regular neighborhood,
right.
Like, it's all expensive because it's, like, bougie. Let me tell you, I never liked oxtail until, like, I was an adult, like, and I'm talking about, like, an old adult. I'm talking about, like, maybe in the last 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. It just always grossed me out. It's like eating the tail, thinking of the tail on the ox and stuff
and
like that.
Someone put a comment.
Nah, man. I was hungry one day and I just had it, boy. That thing is delicious.
Listen,
he's there with the bone, like, and even the bone is, like, good design to just kind of suck all the meat off.
Someone said oxtail, the closest part to the ass.
That's why I never ate it. That's why I never ate it all them years. That's just it.
But our people eat the, what is that, chitlins?
The intestines.
Right.
God damn, bro.
Oh, man. Go ahead.
You want me to start at verse 40 or just 41?
Start at 41. Let's get to the point.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 13 and verse 41.
Right, so this is when the Northern Kingdom left the other side of the earth, and they came on this side. Come on.
But they took this counsel among themselves.
So all the leadership got together, and they took this counsel among themselves. Going to the point that the officer just brought out, that our enemy knows, especially when it comes to social engineering, who the target really is. They may get some of the grown-ups to go along with it, but their real intention is to go after our youth, right? They want to go after the children and the next generation, like they did with Gad and Reuben.
Correct.
With the Indian schools,
right.
Because it was easier to break them. They understood, just like Christ said, you can't pour new wine into old bottles,
wow.
Right?
Yep.
So they were like, listen, these new people, maybe we could get the adults, but where we're really going to have our enterprise success is with the youngins.
Hmm.
And you see that they're targeted today. And I'm going to make a point that emphasized, for me anyway, that my spirit wanting to do this was necessary. I'm going to share something that happened with my daughter right before I left the house. But go ahead, read this on the top again.
But they took this counsel among themselves, that they would leave the multitude of the heathen.
So they got together and they said, when they were granted their liberty, they said, we got to leave the multitude of the heathen. Why? Because they understood. They didn't call it social engineering, but they knew how these things would affect them.
The pollution.
The pollution in order to maintain their heritage, what they needed to do. So they took this counsel among themselves. Come on.
That they would leave the multitude of the heathen.
They said, we got to get away from these heathen, these other non-Israelite nations. Come on.
And go forth into a further country where never mankind dwelt.
They said, we got to go further where never mankind dwelt. But there was a reason for it. Why? Come on.
That they might there keep their statutes.
When it says that they might there, it's giving you the reason why they said they needed to do this. It said that they might there keep their statutes, which we really understand is our heritage, according to Jeremiah 17 and 4. Come on.
Which they never kept in their own land.
Which they never kept in their own land. Is that in that verse?
Yes, sir.
All right. So they said. So they knew. They said, we got to get away from these influences because our children will be affected. And if we want to be able to continue on, because they were grown adults. They knew that they could keep the laws if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, listen, man, we're going to continue to have our children be exposed to this stuff.
That's
we
got
to get away from this.
Yeah.
Right? So they understand that. So the enemy understands that.
Mm.
The heathen understand that.
Right.
The white man understands that. So this is where they come up with things like social engineering. And they word it so subtly with the centralized planning and all of that, letting you know that this thing goes further, all right? Did I say Judith?
Judith.
Come on.
The book of Judith, chapter 5, verse 20. Now, therefore, my Lord and Governor, if there be any error in this people, and they sin against their God.
See, the heathen know this. They understand this. So they want to manage social change within us and regulate the future development and behavior of the Israelite society because it will allow them to stay in power, right? This is why we're reading these verses. Read this again from the top.
Now, therefore, my Lord and Governor, if there be any error in this people and they sin against their God, let us consider that this shall be their ruin, and let us go up, and we shall overcome them.
Right? So this is them articulating and saying, hey, you know what? If we can engineer some social change in their society, we'll ensure that our houses will continue forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's their inward thought for generations to come. Come on.
But if there be no iniquity in their nation, let my Lord now pass by, lest their Lord defend them and their God be a reproach. I'm sorry. And their God before them, and we become a reproach before all the world.
Right. So they understood that if we were keeping God's commandments, can't stand against us. So what did they want to do? They want to socially engineer, and they've successfully done so up until this point, right? Except there'd be a remnant. We'd all be as Sodom and Gomorrah, mm-hmm. okay? Except there'd be a remnant that they wanted to socially engineer, move our behavior, move the future development of our society away from keeping these laws, statutes, and commandments. That's their intention. That's their motivation. So they said, man, we got to move in that direction. So let me backtrack. So I had this, and this was my intention to go over this and bring this out. And like I said, it was a multitude of topics I could have chose. So as I'm getting ready, I'm getting my water ready, and I'm moving. And my daughter has an assignment, I guess, with the girls group on Telegram. She has to do something with some scriptures. And she said, Daddy, I have a question. So, you know, I'm thinking she's just going to ask me, you know, she's always asking me questions about stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
And she starts, she says, Genesis 1:27. So I got real excited because, you know, I answer her questions in general. But I said, oh, she got a scripture question. I said, all
right.
She said, Genesis 1:27. And, you know, she reads it. And let's read that real quick because I want to show you how a child was able to make this distinction and how powerful the commandments are. She's 10 years old. And my daughter's not light. Like, academically, she's good. She got honor roll all year and all that stuff like that. So I know that she's intelligent. She understands stuff. But she's still a child.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to make this connection has really nothing to do with academia. It has to do with the spirit. And how the spirit, you know, she grew up in these commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So the spirit resides there. I pray she stays that way. Obviously, as parents, we have a lot to do with that. And part of this whole topic will show you that, like how profound the family unit is in dealing with the children and the next generation. Book ahead. So she says, I have a question about this. Genesis 1:27. Come on.
The book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Right. So she was like, what does that mean? And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, there's a girl at my school. Her name is so-and-so. So you might name. And she says, she goes, we're not friends or anything, but she's always talking about how her she should be referred to as they or them and not she.
Oh,
she
wow.
She said, but this says God made male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, damn. I said, all praises. Because that's one of the main things I want to talk about with the social engineering and why it's important we have an awareness of this, that nothing is not intentional when it comes to what's being put out there. Nothing is random when it comes to the things that we see in the media cycle that you see happening in the earth. It's all socially engineered from every war, from every disease, from every mass shooting, whether it's something that they were explicitly involved in or they steered people based on social engineering and agents of socialization. And if we have time, we'll get into it with the media today. I don't know. That's why I say this might be a two-parter because it's already 7:44. I know we started, you know, at like around 7:10, but still, right? There's a lot to cover. And it's that axis, right, that Willie Lynch spoke about that's set in motion. And it's so prevalent that you'll see these things. So she says to me, and I said, I'm going to explain to you what that is. I said, and we'll bring the scripture out again later. I said, get Ecclesiastes 7 and 29. I said, first you have to understand this.
I said, what'd she say about the little girl?
So she said that it makes her uncomfortable, like she doesn't even talk to her because she's always so emphasizing that the girl saying, no, you have to call me they or them, not she.
And you know who they get that from? Their parents.
But what's wild is that she read Genesis 1:27.
Mm-hmm.
And was able to discern that in her 10-year-old little spirit,
mm-hmm.
that it was in relation to what. So she knew that what her classmate was saying was off. And then when she read that scripture, it just all popped for her.
They and them.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I said, I'm going to explain to you what that is, honey. I said, I'm going to explain to you what that is. So read this in Ecclesiastes. And I made her go and get the scripture, Ecclesiastes 7:29.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright.
I said, so what you read when it says he made man in his image, it means he made them upright, meaning that there's one way. There's a right way.
Mm-hmm.
And it don't matter what anybody else says. That right way is the Bible. Like we had someone in the comments just now talking about asking about heaven or hell. Right. How do you believe that if it's just in a book? That's somebody who doesn't believe in this then. Mm. They just came to try to debate religion, which this is not religion. There's a heritage. You're going to lose on that ground. Right. Because guess what? There's no discussion to have with you if you don't believe in this.
Right.
I cannot have any type of dialogue with you. The one source that I'm using to prove my point means nothing to you.
So their unbelief make the faith of God without effect.
Right, exactly, right? Let God be true, but every man a liar. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing to be said. That's why I didn't entertain the question, and neither should y'all in the group. That's just a distraction.
Right.
That's obviously a non-believer. Uh-huh.
That's what those pastors are telling us on the street. They're telling us not to use the Bible.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Right. Yeah.
Pastors
yeah.
telling you not to use the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. But anyway, so I said, and I had to figure out how to explain this to a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, okay, but she kind of gets it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so upright means the right way. I said, and when it says God, he made them in his image, he made them male and female. He only made two genders.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but what your classmate is saying is the next part of the verse. Come on.
But they have sought out many inventions.
I said, but that's just, I said, do you know what an invention is? And of course she went into the school thing. She was thinking about like, you know, like this water bottle is an invention, mm-hmm. the computer's an invention. I said, no, honey. I said, very simply, it means a creation. They made it up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's make-believe.
Mm.
I said, it's like, I said, what's your name? She said, oh, yeah. I said, all right. If you wanted to start saying your name was Bob, I said, that's an invention
mm.
because your name is not Bob. You created it. I said, it's the same thing as if they're there saying they and them. I said, so if you see a boy saying that he's she, you see a girl saying that she's he or they or them, I said, that's not upright. Mm-hmm. I said, that's what Genesis 1:27 is talking about.
That's heavy.
I said, that's what Genesis 1. And damn. All right, Daddy. And boom, she got it.
That's a perfect instantly. Scripture.
She got it really? Instantly. You know, so like I said, I got super excited. She
that's
asked me a scripture question.
Yeah,
you know?
that's the one.
I was like, okay. So you have to understand.
Hey, shout out to Ariella. She gave us a very one hitter quitter for camp. Whenever they come up with the pronouns, shout out to Ariella. Thank you. I'm highlighting.
All praise to the Most High. So you know, proud dad. You know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Let's go. Bring it out.
So I was real happy. I said, all right, all praise to the Most High. But it's amazing how, you know, I couldn't tell her social engineering and all this stuff. She's not, her head's not going to wrap around that.
Right.
But I told her that's the stuff that she's going to see and she's going to be exposed to. And, you know, someone posted, and I'm with you like 1,000,000%, you know, Lord's will, within the next year or two, I'm able to pull her out. And now they have like online school, you know, so because homeschooling is a little more complex. You know, the parent has to be highly involved and it's a little challenging for some households. I know some households do it. You know, we got the Jacob's Hope that, you know, it's taking a lot longer because the way Esau has this stuff set up. So in order for us to set up an accredited program, right, which means according to their agenda as closely as possible, because you're still going to have to teach certain things that they put out if you want that education to count for anything in this society.
Mm-hmm.
But that's coming. We do have some solutions as far as Jacob's Hope Academy and things. It's just it's not that it's not moving forward. We've been working on that for years.
I bet.
It's just it's that challenging when you're navigating an ESOL system to put it out on such a mass scale like that. But in lieu of that, they have things like online school and things like that. And she's pretty eager to do so. We're just waiting for an age where she's able to kind of handle that to do that. But you're not going to escape that stuff. We'll take the call in a second. You're not going to escape that stuff because of social engineering, as I'm going to show you today. So even though we can do that, and I'm not saying don't do it. If you can, take them out of the school system.
Right.
But don't fool yourself into thinking that they're not going to be like our forefathers did, thinking that and I'm going to show you. Well, it might not come out later. Remember, it comes from within us, that stuff. It's already there. Yeah. In 1 second. Hold on. It's already there.
Yeah.
So let's not be ignorant of those things to think that those things will keep them from it. It's good. And I'm with you 1,000%. Being able to have them not in the school system.
Right.
But some way, somehow, they're going to be exposed to it. And you got to remember, you're building them up for when you're not there one day. You're building them up for the world. So you don't necessarily want to shield them.
They have to be.
They got to get some exposure to some of it. You just kind of want it controlled.
Mm-hmm.
You want it controlled. Like a controlled exposure to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the Spartans. They threw them into war. They didn't send them into the battlefield to get that exposure.
Right.
But they had a program and a process of how they did it, mm-hmm. you know, and they were trained. Once they were 5, they started training in self-defense and different things and stuff like that. You know, when you're building them, when you're breeding them for war. It's the same thing when you're dealing with family and things that way. Okay, bring your scripture, and then we'll take the call.
Micah 2:10. So what you said, going on what you said is, not to forget, whether you take them out of a school, right, and you put them in the online school, because I have my oldest daughter on the online school, but I still got to be careful with her because now she's older and she has a phone. That's another way I got to be careful with her.
Man, my daughter been asking me for a phone. I said, you don't need a phone. I just go with her with like rational. What do you need a phone for? You're always with us.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you're gonna do an online school, what do you need a phone for?
Right.
I said, you got your tablet. I can message you. I can FaceTime you with internet. I said, you don't need a phone.
Mm.
Good.
Micah 2:10.
The book of Micah, chapter 2 and verse 10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest.
Come on.
Because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with the sore destruction.
So it says, arise ye and depart. It says, because this place is not our rest. It is polluted. It shall destroy you. So yes, our kids do need some type of exposure to know that this world is not upright, right? And it shall destroy you. But, I mean, if you can take them out of the regular school, that helps.
Because you know why? It gives you more control.
Yes.
I just don't want everybody to think that that's just the answer why I put them out of school. Because I know some Israelite children that are homeschooled, and they're still the damn devil.
Mm. Yes, they are.
Mm. In some cases, they worse. But that's because the parents not doing what they need to do. As far, because you think that that's the answer, and then we forget this. Parenting needs to be, there's active and there's passive ways that you teach the children. I went over this when I did the Parenting God's
Way. The passive way is a heavy one.
Right. The passive way is the one that's probably the most profound, mm-hmm. because if you're not always on point, they're going to see that. And children are super perceptive. And they might not always say something, but they'll notice.
Mm-hmm.
They notice when mommy and daddy are arguing. They notice when something's different. They notice when something's off. And they might not express it always, but they know. And so the passive is the, you know, do what I say, not as I do. Mm. Now you can't do that. They need to see the example as well. And then you got the active way where we have to be present. All right. And like I said, maybe we don't get to it tonight. Family as an agent of socialization, our enemy understands how critical family is in molding the future development of a society.
Mm-hmm.
They understand that wholeheartedly, which is why they had all the devices and all the crafty councils that they put in place and all the wicked devices that they put forth to try to destroy the Israelite family structure and the Israelite household. Because they understand what the end result is in that, and that's that their houses will continue so long as that happens. So they understand that. We're the only ones that don't put the emphasis and the value on that. We're the only ones. And I'm not just talking about non-believing Israelites. There's Israelites that sit amongst us that their kids is just off. And you can't just blame them and society.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take responsibility and ownership in that. Just like same thing in the marriage as a man, right? If she would not go as you would have her, it says, how can a man rule the kingdom of God if he can't rule his own household?
Right.
Right? And that goes from the wife to the children to everything else. Not saying you're going to have perfection. And how that happens, that you're not going to have problems, that's not what it means that you rule your house effectively. It means you do have issues and you work on them.
Mm-hmm.
You manage to make that household move forward in the same way. Because just like, you know, people come into here and they think that they're not going to find issues amongst the body. We've had people leave because they're like, oh, I'm so shocked I went there. You guys are supposed to be keeping laws and there's all types of craziness going on. What'd you think you were going to see?
Right.
Why think God had to give us laws to begin with?
Damn.
Because he knew what was in our spirit. Like mm-hmm. you read in Mark 7. He said, listen, this is what's within you. That's the natural man.
Christ told the seven churches their faults.
Right. This is what's in you.
You wicked.
Right.
Repent.
Right. So you got to be involved, right? And the thing is, you might not have enough active, but your passive is very pronounced in how you're teaching your children.
Mm.
Your passive is very profound. Because I hear, oh, but they're this, but they're that, but I do this and I do that. But what is it that you do? Because what you do most of the time is not the active. And that's the reality of it, right? Because there's work, there's different things, responsibilities. You're not actively in front of them always teaching them, right? School system teaches them and spends more time with them,
yeah.
right? Even if you're homeschooling them, and it's a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do anything in this society, you have to go through that process. They engineered it that way. All right. We're still on the same topic. This wasn't where my thoughts were going with this. It's a lot more information that we got to read through and bring out. But, it's just flowing this way. Yep. I kind of knew it might be two parts. I felt it was going to have to be because it's just too much stuff that I got to go over with.
It's a heavy topic.
It is. Like I said, the title might seem a little mundane. I think last week I had something about Esau and we had like 800 viewers or 600 watching in one shot.
Mm.
You know.
Not today.
No, because the title's not snazzy and sensational. We like drama.
Yeah, we do.
We like drama.
Color.
It's Israel.
Where were we?
Judith 5. We already read through that.
We read that.
You got
he
the
brought
caller.
Out
we got the caller. That's what we got. All right.
They hung up, sir.
Oh, man.
It was Brother Isaac from IUIC Grand Rapids. He said, nobody ever calls in. So I just wanted to call in and congratulate the deacon on his recent promotion.
Oh, all praise to the Most High. Well,
all
thank you, Brother Isaac.
High.
I wish you would have stayed on the line. I apologize. Just when we flowing, you know.
And he was a young man. He said he was 13, and he watches every week.
All praise to the Most High.
Look at that. Okay, all right. Well, we appreciate you trying to call in, Brother Isaac. All praise to the Most High. Young minds. Being thirsty for the word. That's beautiful.
From Grand Rapids.
Right. He said, I'll give you living water. He told it to the woman by the well, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you living water. All praises to the Most High. So you know, so my daughter that came about, and I said, man, we got to talk about this. So social engineering, that's the definition. What else we got? What else we got?
Yo, Wiki, you got okay. The YouTube video?
Nope, not yet. That's actually later. We might not even get to that today. I'll see. So, all right, no, go back to where you were with the social engineering. All right, so let's read what Wikipedia has to say about social engineering. Go ahead.
Social engineering is a top-down effort to influence particular attitudes.
See, that's another cold talk, a top-down effort. The definition says centralized planning. It's a top-down effort, meaning it comes from the highest echelons of what they're trying to accomplish.
And that went over my head, right? So if you didn't break it down. Yo, for
all
real.
Praises. That's what I'm here for.
All praises. No, for real, because like, I'd read that and be like, okay, just
thinking,
I don't know what they mean.
Thinking of the convertible.
Stop.
Let me get Psalms 83. Let's read it real quick, talking about that top down,
that's
and then we'll get back into that stuff. Let's
wow.
Get
no, for real. Like, I would have read
then,
it.
And then Psalms 2 after that. All right?
I would have read it and been like, okay, but, let me show you the top down, centralized planning on this social engineering.
Go ahead.
The book of Psalms, chapter 83 and verse 2. For lo, thine enemies make
Start with Psalms 83. Sorry. I said get Psalms 2 for after that.
The book of Psalms, chapter 83 and verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God.
Right? So I like that first part because this meaning that this should be in the forefront of our minds. Same reason we bring these type of topics out, right? It says we should be entreating God always to not hold his peace, right? Not keep silence. Empower us. Let your word go out. Speak against these things. Why? Because our enemies do.
Mm-hmm.
They're constantly. They don't let up.
Nope.
So we don't want the Most High to let up, and nor should we.
Right.
That's why we bring in the battle to them. We go into the doorstep of these churches because that's another construct of social engineering. Religion.
It's a heavy
religion
one.
Religion helps them, the future development and the behavior change of a society. And very specifically in the Israelites as a society. Because of what we read in Judith. Because of what we read in Psalms about their houses continuing forever.
And you see, just a small quick example. You see with religion, before, a woman wouldn't be up in the dress with a tight skirt, short skirt. They'd be modest, a little more modest than what today.
Yep.
Today is just outward hope.
Yeah.
Dress up like a hoe in church.
That's social engineering. You know what social engineering is, too? I just thought about it. It reminds me of Bishop Yawasup, when he says the Negro was created in a lab.
Yes. Mm. That's exactly what it is.
Because that Negro mindset was created in a lab. That's a creation.
Mm-hmm.
That's an invention.
Mm.
That's an engineered thing.
Damn.
You know, Deacon Malachi brought it out about black culture is death.
Right.
Black culture. Right? And when I say black culture, I'm talking about Hispanics. I'm talking about all the tribes. Black culture is death because it's not ours. You think it's yours. You try to claim it as uniquely yours. That's Inception, where you think it's your own idea.
Right. That's a heavy movie.
I just recently played it again because it was on Netflix.
Yeah, that's a dope movie.
Right?
I
and
got
it says,
confused.
It says when you plant, well, you got to watch it. It's one of those you got to watch it. Like Tenet?
Yeah.
Did you see Tenet?
No.
Same director? Well, James, is it Christopher Nolan? Well, that's another one that'll blow your mind.
No.
It's like a time movie, but it's not a time movie. It's crazy. Tenet. You seen Tenet?
Mm-mm.
Ooh, it's on HBO Max, I think.
All right. Check it out.
Bro, that thing is wild, bro. That is good. It is wild, bro. Like, bro, it was it's been months. I haven't gone back to watch it because I got to watch it again to wrap my mind around it, you know? And then, you know, not that I look to try to see the spiritual or something, but like sometimes the first time through, I don't see it
because
it's just so like entertaining.
You just caught in the movie.
Yeah, you just in the movie.
Yeah.
But then on the second watch, you start, like, kind of noticing things, and you bring things out and stuff like that, and you're like, all right.
I think I started watching it, and then I just, yeah.
Bro, it's so good. You got to give it its chance, bro. Like,
okay.
Maybe the first 20 minutes is, like, the setup.
Yeah.
That thing is freaking crazy.
Okay.
Tenet is good. Tenet is a real good flick. Tenet is a real good flick. But anyway, Inception, right?
Mm-hmm.
It got to come. You have to have the inward thought that it comes from within you. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's real powerful how you set that up. So the Negro creation, black culture, Hispanic culture, all of that stuff. Right. That was social engineering. Are there some remnants of our stuff in there? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
right? But that goes into Colossians, is it 2 and 8, where it talks about rudiments?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where that's what makes it more believable, that you put bits and pieces of it.
Right.
Again, I'm always referencing movies.
Bring them out.
Matrix, when Smith catches Morpheus, and he tells him, you know, this isn't the first Matrix. So the first Matrix, we made a paradise.
Mm.
And you guys rebelled against it because it was too perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't deal. You can't have nice things. You can't have nice things. He said, so we had to make pain. We had to make suffering. We had to put some stuff in there
mm-hmm.
in order for you guys to thrive.
Mm.
Wow.
So they leave rudiments of things in place for us. They couldn't just erase our book. That wouldn't have been good enough. So what they had to do was alter it. They had to make it a stumbling block for us,
mm-hmm.
like you read.
Mm-hmm.
Our tables have become a snare for us.
Just like they know that we, they know the evil that's in us, right?
Yep.
The same thing as far as they know that we have a zeal for God. So they have to keep that religion in the community.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Remember, Satan knew scriptures. Satan knows scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they knew what Mark 7 said. Oh, there's evil in them? Mm-hmm. They said, remember, when it says in Ecclesiastes 7:29 that he made us upright, so that's not just talking about the other nations. That's talking about Israelites seeking out inventions also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We might not get to it today, but you read that in Genesis 3, 6, and 7. That's how Satan was able to tempt Eve.
I was just thinking, this whole, you know how it says about three days and a half we would be without the Spirit of the Lord? And I was just thinking, like, that whole time of us being without away from the Lord and without the Bible, I'm sure they were going in through the scriptures to see, like, okay, Judith 5, look at their history, look at what their sin, this is their weakness, this is their strength, this is what we need to put out there. So I was just like thinking, like, that whole time we were without the Lord and without the keeping of the commandments, they were just searching. Just like Christ said, search ye the scriptures, for in them you shall find life.
You think you have eternal life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they were searching in the scriptures for our demise. So
yeah.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah. That whole time they just have scholars of looking into the Bible,
I'm a real oversimplify what you just said, because what you just said is real heavy. Right, they had scholars. They dedicated stuff to that. Right,
for hundreds of years
to understand our book, so that they can use it against us, so that it can become a snare and a stumbling block against us. Right,
for hundreds of years.
And it's like when Bill Belichick was stealing plays so that the Patriots could keep winning. He said, "If I use their playbook, I'm enterprise success. My victory's assured."
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right, so as I say, I oversimplify what you said there, but it's like let me get the playbook. Right,
it's just and Bishop Nathaniel always says this. It's like they get pornography from Leviticus 18.
Yeah,
and that's what they do. Okay,
yeah,
the God said not to do this.
Yes,
Let's use a woman with the animal.
Let's use those things. Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Also, God said not to do this. Yeah. Let's do it. Okay.
I gotta see if the Spirit lets me get there. We're gonna talk about that too, because part of the media talks about how it influences us with the social media. And one of the things I was going to talk about is the pornography brothers, because sociologists understand that it changes perception. It's not just pornography, but it's a lot of things. But I was thinking of that as an example. Hey, I know I've asked for this before. I don't know if you've ever been able to look for it and find it. I'm talking to you producers.
You're on.
The movie Ex Machina. There's a scene with Oscar Isaacs and the other character. It's near the beginning of the movie. I don't know how you would search for it, but he basically says he's supposed to be like the founder of what's Google, but like that film universe. And he says something about how it didn't tell us like what we were thinking. It told us how we were thinking, all that Google search information. So I don't know if there's a clip from that movie, Ex Machina, where it talks
how
about
how Ava was created.
I don't know if it's how Ava was created. Maybe it is. They're like in the kitchen, I think, when they're talking.
I think if
And he basically goes into that. Because someone just posted something. It made me think of it on the Phoenix page. I think it was Nashawn. And he said, the bishop also says the Negro is the white man's algorithm. And it made me think of algorithms like Google and the search.
Mm-hmm.
And that data is not just you. You know, we use it and we're like, oh, my gosh. But you notice how Google will, like, you'll start typing and it, like, fills in the rest for you and it's exactly
right.
What you wanted,
mm-hmm.
right? That's an algorithm. And they built that algorithm over time, because in the movie Ex Machina, he talks about it. He says what it really did was not showed us what we wanted. He says it's deeper than us using it to sell stuff to people and say, oh, people want this, people want that.
Mm-hmm.
He says it showed us how people think. There's a big difference. Mm-hmm. Not what we're thinking. Because what is what? Okay, yeah, that's nice to know. What are you thinking?
Right.
Hey. The real Inception, how we're thinking.
And with Inception, when you go into that movie they were talking about, you have to plant the idea or the invention, whatever it is,
in their mind.
So they believe that they came up with
that
it.
They came up with it. So you gotta plant it.
Is it this one right here? Skip forward into like just
the
timeline.
Scroll. Yeah, there. I think it's there. I think it is in there.
That's the lab when he started showing them.
How long is the clip? It's 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Start playing it. Let's see.
Start from the beginning.
Because this goes into data that they collect. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. Hey. Maybe we'll come back to it again if this is the scene. This is a great movie too. It's pretty. It's actually the ending messed me up. But it's one of the movies. Boy, you seen it?
Yeah.
But
you
thinking
brought
about
it up on the show. I had to go.
I was thinking about that ending for like 3 days after I saw the movie, bro.
I thought I was hurt that they she let him.
Bro,
I'm not even gonna
that
kill
thing
him.
Had me. Yeah, don't
yeah,
kill it because
yeah.
hey,
I think that ending was just wild, bro.
You wouldn't think it.
Cause you want to know what's crazy about the movie? It actually what he was saying that Ava could accomplish, it did it to you in the audience.
Right.
That's why you're so jacked up when you see the ending of the flick.
I didn't catch that until you just said that.
Yeah, bro, that's what it is. That's why you felt that way.
Hey,
bro, I remember I was at the gym the next day on the treadmill. And I was like, Telegram. It was effed up.
Right.
That's
crazy.
Before we go there, so brothers, make sure you put the disclaimer. And then Officer Seurat said it's after the 2 minute mark.
Oh, okay. Officer Seurat coming in for the win.
And
there we go.
So we can skip ahead. So before you get to it, though, I got to tell you. Let me show you. Let's read this.
Make sure you get the disclaimer ready.
Listen, I know Psalms 83 is like that's a known scripture. Like that's a foundational scripture in Israel, right? But like all leadership brings out, like we all bring out, the scriptures got so much, especially Bishop Yasser, there's so much meat off the bone. There's so much in there, right? I've often said, sometimes you read these verses and there's like dispensations of time in one verse, like you don't know.
Right.
There's a lot, like the verses are heavy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no extra words in the Bible, like it's all, like it's enough, like it's just the right amount.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the right amount, and there's so much emphasis in it, right? Come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 83 and verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God.
And we're going to see an example of that when we watch this clip. All right? Come on, read.
For, lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their heads.
This is why we can't keep silence. This is why we have to speak. This is why we have to teach. This is why we have these platforms. This is why we take, like Bishop was saying, listen, yeah, we collect these alms, but you see where this money goes.
Mm-hmm.
IUIC TV, all these platforms, the way for us to bring you better quality media to where we can do this stuff. The traveling, the trips.
Joseph's Dream,
different things like that.
A brand new school in Africa.
Why? So, you had groups hating on us because we did a movie saying we sold out with Joseph's Dream. But they forgot this scripture. We can't keep silence. They say you fight fire with fire. So they always putting stuff in the media against us. Our enemies make a tumult, so we going to make a tumult back. Come on.
They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones.
Dave, you don't understand that crafty counsel so strong that you'll hate us for trying to use the same type of mediums back against them. You'll hate us because we went and we put a movie forth that puts imagery in our people's head that'll change the narrative of the iconoclasm that they put forth amongst us. And you got our own people who are so tied up in that matrix that they fight to defend it.
Mm.
They, our enemies make a tumult. So we're making a tumult. That's why we're making waves. That's why we're marching. That's why we're visiting these other countries. That's why we're coming up with movies. That's why we do these short films and different things like that. That's why we do music and all of that stuff. It's all the same thing because these are the socially engineered things that they've used against us. That crafty council has many, many levels and layers to it. So you can never be like, oh, yeah, I know that scripture. Mm. Like Bishop been bringing out that one brother. Mm. Yeah, I know a lot. That don't mean a damn thing. You got a good memory. That's all that means. It takes time and experience, exercise of use. Mm-hmm. That's in Hebrews, right, that you read that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
By exercise of use to discern between good and evil. Strong meat.
Hey, the scripture says, lift up the banner and exalt the voice upon the high mountain. They forgot the Bible.
Right.
They forgot the Lord said, hey, bring the fire back.
That's it. That's
lift
it.
Up the banner.
He says, my word will be like a fire. Mm-hmm. Let it consume them. Cause it is battle axe. Mm-hmm. So we make a tumult. But all they could see is it's a snare. It's a stumbling block to them. They sold out. They did a movie. They sold out. They did this.
No, you just got the Willie Lynch on you still.
That's
bro.
It.
You still got to repent. You still got to be born again like a child so you can see the works that we're trying to do,
that
man.
That born again is a daily thing, bro. Mm-hmm. You gotta make sure because stumbling blocks, they keep popping up. Until the kingdom come, them things are going to keep popping up in front of you to prevent you from seeing or retaining what you got. Read verse 3 again.
Verse 3. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones.
That's us. The Israelites, the so-called blacks, Hispanics, natives, those scattered throughout the earth that fit these curses. Come on, read.
They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation.
So they said, let's socially engineer the future development of this people. Let's get what we read, what was in Judith 5 and apply that. Mm. And how will we do that? There's many methods that we will put that out there. And they have this social engineering. It's a fancy, it's a academic way to say what they do. So we're going to go deeper into this too. Eh? We're not going to get to all of it. I'm going to tell you right now, we ain't getting through all of it tonight. We're going to have to do part two.
Mm.
We're going to have to do part two.
Keep them wanting more.
We're going to have to do part two.
We have to do part two, but with the little catchier title, maybe.
Maybe? Well, listen, I can't do everything, bro. Like,
I got you.
I need help. I need help.
Lifeline.
Read verse 4 again. Come on.
They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
Get me the social engineering definition again.
Pull that popped up on the screen.
Social engineering. The use of centralized planning.
Our enemies make a tumult. They have taken crafty counsel. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Go ahead, read that.
Centralized planning in an attempt to manage social change.
The change they wanted to make was to hide us, who the Israelites are. They wanted to hide our identity so that then we wouldn't seek out the proper understanding in the book. It's a whole process. It's a methodology that they put forth. When you engineer something, it means you construct it. You put it together.
Mm-hmm. You put deep thought into
deep
it.
Deep thought, planning.
You plan from beginning to end.
It's nuanced.
Mm.
There's a lot of moving parts in it. Mm. So that if you take down one part, the other part, there's fail safes.
Yes,
there's
sir.
Backups to it.
Mm-hmm.
They said they want to manage social change among the hidden ones. Come on.
And regulate the future development and behavior of a society.
Read verse 4 again.
Verse 4. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
Read.
For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee.
They consulted together with one consent. That's that centralized planning in the definition of social engineering. And they said, we're going to change this. We're going to regulate their future. Because we know their future is that they are the beginning and we are the end. Like you read that in 2 Ezra 6 and 9. We brought that out last week.
That's right.
Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning of it that followeth. So they said, we're going to change. We're going to regulate their future development and their behavior, like you read in Judith 5. Because if we keep them away from this, and we put sin in front of their face and make that their culture and make that their way, then our enterprise is a success. Our houses will continue forever. Mm. Come on.
Verse 6. The tabernacles of Edom.
The white man. Come on.
And the Ishmaelite.
The Arab man.
Of Moab.
The China man.
And the Hagarene.
Dealing with, that's Ham, right?
Hagar.
Yep, come on.
Gabal and Ammon and Amalek.
That's Ham, come on.
The Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre.
Go ahead.
Assur, also
that's Iraq, come on.
Also is joined with them. They have hope in the children.
I'm sorry, Amalek is the Jewish, the so-called Jewish. Come on. Ammon is the Japanese. Go ahead.
Assur also is joined with them. They have hope in the children of Lot.
Right, again, dealing with Asians when it says the children of Lot. They are all confederate against us. None of them, are on our side.
Can I get one scripture?
Go ahead.
Ezekiel 25 and 8. Ezekiel 25 in there. We talked about, it mentioned here, Esau, the white man, it mentioned Moab, and then verse 8 says, they have also hope in the children of Lot. Going back again to, it mentions the Chinese and the Japanese twice. Ezekiel 25 in the
book of Ezekiel, chapter 25 and verse 8.
This is what they say about us. Watch this.
Thus saith the Lord God, because that Moab and Seir do say.
The Moab, the Chinese, and the Seir is the so-called white man. That's where they live. Come on.
Do say, behold, the house of Judah is like unto all the heathen.
Look at them. Now our social engineering has worked, and now their future development, and their behavior of a society, now they behave like us.
Right.
Now they have the mindset of the heathen. They live like us.
That's what wound up happening. Yep. You read that. Are you done with that?
Yep.
The John 7:35. That's what wound up happening.
Mm-hmm.
It started working then. They just didn't call it social engineering.
Nope. But they said, look, they think like us. They walk like us. They eat like us. They behave like us now. They said, good, now they're destroyed. Now they are become like the heathen. They are become like us. Like the trick baby.
Trick baby.
Right.
Like the trick baby.
I was about
scene.
To say, yes, trick sir. Daddy.
Oh, you was going to be like Deacon and say trick daddy.
Yeah,
trick
that's
baby,
what he was
going to
do.
They said they forget their where they come from. They forget all this stuff. And
this is why this is what a result of it already. So you read that there in Ezekiel, and then you come forward, fast forward to Christ time. Go ahead.
The book of St. John, chapter 7 and verse 35. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles?
Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles, meaning the Israelites that were like heathen, that were behaving like heathen among the Gentiles? Come on.
And teach the Gentiles.
And teach the Gentiles? Why? Because some of them understood the prophecy. Where's the other one where it says, in times past, Gentiles in the flesh?
I was thinking First Corinthians.
Yep. Get that real quick.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12 and verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols.
Why? Because what gets you out of the matrix, what gets you out of this socially engineered algorithm, right, is returning to God's law, statutes, and commandments. Bethinking yourself as an Israelite and keeping these laws, statutes, and commandments. Read that again.
Ye know that ye were Gentiles. Ye were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols.
Right, and you know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, meaning away from God's laws, statutes, and commandments.
No, that wasn't there's another one.
There's another one that says Gentiles in the flesh.
Yes.
Okay.
In times past.
Yes. Give me one second.
What's heavy
Ephesians
about?
Ephesians 2:11.
Ephesians 2:11.
Mm-hmm. And then you can say your point.
Yes, sir.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision.
Right. So he says, listen, you were even called, meaning you were called heathens. You were as the heathen because of that social change, that change of the behavior in the society. Read verse 12.
Verse 12. You want rest of 11 or no?
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
By that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand.
Meaning those that still retain God's laws and knowledge were calling those that weren't heathen because we were rolling that way. We were acting that way. Come on.
That at that time ye were without Christ.
Because Christ. You were without Christ. Come on.
Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel.
You weren't like the rest of us that were keeping God's laws, statutes, and commandments, that had Christ as the comfort and guide for us. He said you were aliens to that commonwealth of Israel. You were cut off from being a nation, like we read in Psalms 83. Come on.
And strangers from the covenants of promise.
And you did not know the covenants of promise. Come on.
Having no hope and without God in the world.
Having no hope and without God in the world. At one time, all of us were like that in this walk.
And you see it like that today. Hey, our people that don't have, are walking in the flesh as Gentiles, man, they look like, the scripture says we're dead, we're the valley of dry bones. They look and you can see that we are without hope.
Mm-hmm.
Until we repent, that's when we have Christ.
Hey, that's why Paul says we're prisoners of hope.
Yes.
Right? Because we were without hope.
Right.
So yep. We're prisoners of hope now because that's all we got.
Right.
Faith.
We all we got, and this Bible's all we got, right? So Let's get to this clip. So this is the movie Ex Machina. And part of these crafty devices, I'm jumping ahead a little by showing this clip because I still haven't set the rest of the foundation about how deep this goes with the social behavior and everything. But we'll probably run it back when we talk about the media, all right? Because media is part of what directs us in social behavior, all right? And the social behavior falls under social engineering, all right? So there's different ways that they look at it and that they move with it. So this particular thing, this guy's character, Oscar Isaac, is supposed to be like the equivalent of Google. So he was the one that founded this big search engine and everything like that. And he's talking about how he made an artificial intelligence that can persuade people to care for it. I forgot what the law is that they say. They have a scientific law that if you can start eliciting emotion towards the AI, that you feel like it's a person and stuff like that, then that means that it's like the top echelon or something. I forgot what the term is that they use. Maybe I can look it up while we play the scene. Here he's explaining what the search engines really do. And remember, movies, they take – Hollywood knows the truth. They get this information somewhere.
Right.
And he talks about that thing there. Go ahead.
There's a weird thing about search engines.
You got to turn it
up. I'm sorry. Hold on. It's called the Turing test.
Turn it up.
All right? Called the Imitation Game by Alan Turing. It's a test of a machine's ability to exhibit intelligent behavior equivalent to or indistinguishable from that of a human.
Wow.
So this is what they're trying to work towards, right? So it says that if a human evaluator would judge natural language conversations between a human and a machine designed to generate human-like responses. So basically, if you'll know that it's a machine, but if the machine is good and the artificial intelligence is good,
you don't care.
It'll make you.
And you know what's great? As you see that they push that in the movies where like you have a holographic girlfriend in the future. So you see all this stuff, and
yeah,
that's what they're pushing towards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they're working on the outward first, right? They're trying to make it realistic in the movements and the feel and everything like that.
Yeah.
Right? You see the robotics, the Moab and them doing that heavy.
Heavy.
And then the artificial intelligence pieces to plug that in there also, right? Okay, go ahead.
Striking oil in a world that hadn't invented internal combustion. Too much raw material. Nobody knew what to do with it. You see, my competitors, they were fixated on sucking it up and monetizing via shopping and social media. They thought that search engines were a map of what people were thinking.
Stop. So he said my competitors, they were busy like with shopping and everything else. They thought that social media, you run it back a few seconds because it was a little low. He says, was compiling what they were thinking, right? But he's letting them know that no, it's not. Basically, he was able to make an AI because of search engines, right? Because he's saying that the search engines map the brain.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. But go ahead.
Turn it up
a little.
Turn
it up and run it back a little.
You see, my competitors, they were fixated on sucking it up and monetizing via shopping and social media. They thought that search engines were a map of what people were thinking.
Stop. I'm sorry. You know how they do that? I spoke about it on the show, and like it's creepy, but I love it. But like you'll just be talking about like buying a new car, and then all of a sudden ads pop up in your thing.
Yes.
Right? So he's saying that's the search engines help them like formulate what you see now on these different platforms, right? So you'll be like, damn, you know what? I do need that, or you know, I didn't know I needed that, and so the advertising instead of them guessing becomes super targeted. You kind of see something like that in Minority Report when it scans the eye and it gets real personalized and shows them something. Like, you know, whatever, like scenes in the movie Minority Report. He's basically saying, so like that thing that you see when you're scrolling social media and these ads and you're like, damn, how are they so targeted and specific to me? He says that's what these people were focused on.
Well, remember also, too, you did like something some time ago, a couple years ago. Your cousin, Elias, he commented one time that
my brother-in-law.
Yeah. Sorry. He commented that phones have like four microphones and some of them are specifically for monetizing and
TVs and stuff like that.
Yes.
Too.
Mm-hmm. So they have, so they can hear what you're trying to go into. So that's what he's saying.
Yeah, I know. My wife got an Alexa cause
I was just gonna...
she just like, I never wanted one because I thought it was freaking creepy. Right. But she likes it because of the music, you know? So she'll be like, hey, Alexa, you know, play this or whatever. So it's real convenient. Mm. But, man, that thing, that light, it don't make that noise, but I see the light.
Right.
She got that thing in the kitchen. I'll be looking at that, man. I'm like, One time I asked it if it's listening, and it gave me some legal code and law that it can't do that. And I'm like, yeah, right.
Hey, dude.
Hey, get the hell out of here, man.
Yeah, surveillance camera. Yeah,
right, right. Run it back again. Go to the 2-minute mark.
About search engines.
No, go a little before because, yeah, that's
good. Yeah, the whole lead up.
Go a little before.
Well, I'm sure you can guess. Blue Book. There's the weird thing about search engines. It's like striking oil in a world that hadn't invented internal combustion.
Stop. So he uses that analogy. He says, if you would have, basically, if ancient society would have found oil, like struck oil back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have known really what to do with it, crude oil, right? He says, because there's no internal combustion. Oil is gasoline, right? Well, it's refined to gasoline, and it makes all these machines, cars, planes, and everything else go, right? Because of the internal combustion engine. He says, when they came up with the search engine, they didn't know what to do with the information. He goes, initially, nobody knew. It was so much, and it had so much value that nobody knew what to do with it. So he likens it to like striking oil, and there's no internal combustion. What the hell are you going to do with the oil?
You know what's heavy about that? I was looking into careers, and now what's becoming popular is what they call data scientists, where they study the data. There's so much data, they don't know what to do with it, but they know it's important.
Yeah, bro, it's wild, bro. Yeah. It's crazy. So I say, when they say it's the information age, it's insane. It's not just the news cycles and the media and stuff like that. See, the Negro mind, the Israelite mind, the Jake mind, right, that's not woken up to this, that's alien and strangers from these covenants, we're not thinking that way. They're not thinking that way.
Mm.
They don't think of how much more is at play. That's why we get frustrated when, like, some simple stuff come up. You know, it's like, man, there's so much going on in the earth. There's so many things going on. Our enemies make a freaking tumult.
Right.
And people hear, oh, I don't like you. You hurt my feelings. Oh, this war, this chess at a God level going on.
Right.
This chess at a God level. Damn.
And you over here talking about friggin' my feelings are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Go ahead.
Come on, man.
Too much drama, true. Nobody knew what to do with it.
He said nobody knew what to do with it.
You see, my competitors, they were fixated on sucking it up and monetizing via shopping and social media. They thought that search engines were a map of what people were thinking, but actually they were a map of how people were thinking.
Boom, stop. And there's a big difference. And he's going to go on and talk about it a little more.
Yeah,
he says, that's the stage that you see now. Most people jumped on the bandwagon to make money.
Yes.
Right? Oh, this is what they want. This is what they're thinking, right? He says, but it's really what it did. He's saying, I looked at it different. And let me tell you, if they made a movie about it, and this movie's not new, this movie's been out for a while. If they made a movie about it,
they've been on it for a while. Right.
And like you said, now they have this field with data scientists.
2015.
Where do you think they're getting this data from? Mm. Every time you go in and you search something on the internet, they have algorithms back there that makes an association of how people are thinking.
Because you think about it too. When you type something, anything you do on the internet or you interact with your phone, that's thoughts manifesting into actions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I was thinking about that today.
That's heavy. That's thoughts manifesting into actions. You're right about that.
I was thinking about that today. I said, look, my thing as far as on my phone, what I Google, what I search on YouTube, TikTok, whatever, I said, that's a way Satan knows how to attack me in my falls. Like my, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because it knows what I'm searching. So, your lust is this, your lust is that.
It's funny, I tell you, there was a story when we were in Paulding in the Bronx in the basement. And I remember there was a brother that was looking something up. And this was Yahoo would do this a lot. And he was in his Yahoo mail pulling something up. I'm not going to say who the brother is. He's still with us. All right. He's a captain now.
Wow.
And you know, like in the Yahoo Mail client on the side, it'll have ads.
Yeah.
So like when I was looking for a pickup truck, like it incessantly was showing me Chevy before I had bought my truck. But his was showing Asian Asian single girls or something like that, right? And I pointed it out, and he got all, no, no, that's not what it was. I don't know why that's there. I don't know why that's there. Whatever. Like, bro, I'm just saying, we can't prove nothing. All I know is that those things are targeted. That's not random.
Right.
That's and he liked Asian girls. He had a thing for Asian. Oh man. So you're right. It'll like Satan, like it'll try to put stuff in front of you, right?
Because that's it knows thing. Your lust, bro.
Right.
It knows that. That's right. Why he said it's not about what they
right. So I'll give you an example. A brother who has like a gambling problem, mm-hmm. right? It'll show like gambling stuff on the side.
Yes.
You know, if you got a drinking problem, it'll start advertising alcohol and stuff to you on the side, right? So it does do that. What were you gonna say,
bro? I had downloaded the TikTok app. Because of the, you know, we were trying to get everyone to join on TikTok.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
After last week, I deleted it right away.
Well, you know, the reels you stay watching, again, there's an algorithm behind that.
Right.
So yeah. It starts to try to show you more of the things that you watch.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook
but
does that
too.
But if you
just get on
there
and you don't select nothing, it's randomly selected for you, and then it...
Yeah.
It starts reading
but,
you.
And
yeah.
Netflix does that too. Like, it makes recommendations based on what you watch. Right. It tells you. It says, because you watch this, you yeah. might like this.
Right, yeah. right.
And now they got a feature where it says play something, and it'll play something just based on your watch history.
Mm.
So run it back a few seconds. Go to, like, 210.
Yo, this movie was in 2015.
Good flick.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew what to do with it. You see, my competitors, they were fixated on sucking it up and monetizing via shopping and social media. They thought that search engines were a map of what people were thinking, but actually they were a map of how people were thinking. Impulse, response, fluid, imperfect.
Stop. So he says impulse response. Remember that impulse, because when we read social behavior later, it talks about reactive and impulsive behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
And biblically, that's going into the carnal and the spiritual, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Impulsive being the carnal, right? Reactive going into having a foundation in the scriptures and stuff like that. So he talks about that. He says impulse reaction, right? Go ahead.
Pattern.
So, and what you're looking at, that's the brain. That's the AI brain that he made. That's all like chips and that's engineered.
Mm.
But what's in there is how people think, right? For it can make the thing. So it's a crazy flick. You got to stick with it because it's a lot of dialogue at first, but it's good actors. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I got to watch it. Yo, there's a whole list of movies that I got to catch up because you guys just bringing out stuff and I'm like, no, I haven't seen it.
Right. Damn. So all that goes into social engineering. So let's go back to this with the Wikipedia definition for the social engineering.
Social engineering is a top-down effort to influence particular attitudes and social behaviors on a large scale.
Right. So remember, it's on a large scale that they're trying to do this. So they're going to put things in place. They're more concerned with what the consensus wants.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Influence particular attitudes.
Right.
Wow.
So
now
it says,
it's attitude.
In a top-down effort to influence particular attitudes and social behaviors on a large scale. And this is primarily created to fight against the Israelites because Judah 5 showed them an opening, right?
Right?
But then they realized that they can use this to steer society wherever they want. So, you know, when you talk about this government for the people, by the people, it really isn't set up that way. Like, I forgot exactly how the term is, but the United States is supposed to be a republic, but it's not. And because I forgot what the minor distinction was, but it's something along the lines of that a republic basically goes by like what's needed most for the people versus what we have now with a democracy where it's basically what the majority wants gets it, not necessarily what's right. I'm butchering it a little bit, but I used to work with in an office as a hygienist with a dentist that he was very into this stuff. And we would have little discussions about this here and there. And he was Catholic, so we would have little veiled, you know, little things going back and forth at each other. But anyway, he had mentioned it to me in that regard. And so, like, I'll give you an example of a large scale. The Sodom agenda.
Right.
And it seems like it came, I often talk about it, how it seems like from, you know, one decade to the next, all of a sudden it was so accepted. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes like a snowballing thing where it goes to these extremes. Mm-hmm. They were doing things for a long time to put it on a large scale. And now that it's reached its, you know, peak, they're doing it where, because what is the significance of having a kids movie where you have, you know, gay, transgender, bisexual, whatever, in like a kids show?
Right.
Like, why would that need to be in there?
Inception.
Social engineering. Mm-hmm. It was Inception.
Yep.
That's why it's in there.
Future generation.
Right? To deal with the future generation to alter the behavior. Mm-hmm. And they do it on a large scale. We didn't get into it last week, but I had articles for it when you're dealing with the Buffalo murderer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And there was an article that spoke about that there's a whole community behind people like that because of the stuff that they push out to push it on a large scale, right? So they'll put things and they'll make things happen to try to push an agenda so that then they can go and legislate it and say, see, this is what the people wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like Steve Jobs said, most people don't know what they want. You got to put it in front of them,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's crazy.
Because this is what for many years, maybe not so much now, made Apple so innovative, is that they were putting things in. Nobody knew that they wanted a touch screen. And Apple was the first one that did that when it came to phones.
Mm.
Everybody was into flip phones with little. And he said, no, people want a touch. This is what you want to do. Where do you think he was getting that information from? Engines and stuff like that. And then he put it out there because, you know, everybody talks crap about Android and Apple. Android didn't have a touchscreen phone first. It was Apple.
Right.
It was Apple. Hey. And then Apple, you know, Android was just one of those that they took the marketing data and they just said, here, listen, this, boom, 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 let's do this. Apple took it a little slow because the joke is that, you know, stuff that Android's had, that Apple has now, Android's had for a long time or whatever. Mm. And that may very well be, but they were just kind of fish in a barrel, like just throwing up against the wall and see what stuck.
Yeah, right.
You know, Apple was very directed in how they did it, right?
What's it called, like, when you, like, they research the how you give you money for research?
Market research.
Market research. Mm-hmm. And, like, that makes me think back to The Boys where they said a specific word, enemies,
bought. Yeah, uh-huh.
They said uh-huh. It was a specific word, and there's like the, what was his name, Captain, no, I forgot the main dude. He's supposed to be like Captain America,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, nope, don't use that word.
Well, remember season one, they were making villains
yes.
so that they can make more heroes.
Right.
So, you know, like to create the need for it.
Right. So right. Once they're doing that research market, and he said, nope, you're using the wrong word. They're like, no, I feel that makes it feel da-da-da-da. He said, use this word.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that word. We like that word.
Yep.
That's heavy.
Yeah, because
so they search out.
It'll influence attitudes and social behaviors on a large scale.
There you go.
This is how you get so many morons that go after, like, one thing and they just jump after it and stuff like that. Because they're being social engineered under the guise of thinking that you have this free, willing, you're so cerebral, deep.
I was about to say, hey, so you black? And Hispanic man?
You think you're conscious.
You black and Hispanic man. You think you're original? Bruh, get in line.
You ain't original at all. You're trick baby. Not trick daddy. You're trick baby.
Get in line.
You're trick
I'm
baby.
Original. I'm
right.
Number one.
Right.
Get in line, bro.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead. Read that again.
Social engineering is a top-down effort to influence particular attitudes and social behaviors on a large scale. Most often undertaken by governments, but also carried out by...
Hey, people. Look at what it said. Social... Who most often?
Most often undertaken by governments.
Governments. Your government where you vote for your representative because he has your best interests. Mm. My views align with this representative and that representative. It says that social engineering about changing behaviors, modifying the future development of societies. Is most often undertaken by governments. Come on.
But also carried out by media.
By media, wait. Like we just saw in the movie clip.
But who controls media?
Governments.
Governments.
Go ahead.
Right? Come
academia.
On. Who controls the academia? The government.
Oh, someone said Facebook cut the show, probably because of the clip from the movie.
Yeah.
Freaking jerks.
Mm. Go ahead.
Or private groups.
And private groups is those echelons, those upper elites.
that control the government. No, I'm just kidding.
That control the government, right? There you go. Come on.
In order to produce desired characteristics in a target population.
In order to produce desired, that's like gain of function on viruses.
Right.
They do that in society.
But that goes right back to the Willie Lynch letter, too.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to produce
that's
slaves.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Target population.
Yep. Yeah. And it's a perpetual thing that they keep doing and doing. Hey, in Egypt, when he said, let us do wisely with them, that was social engineering.
Yes.
You read that. When you get that in Exodus, they are more and mightier than us, so let us deal wisely with them.
Yes, sir.
And they set up taskmasters.
Hey, I know we're going to go to Egypt, but in Babylon too, they said, hey, all of you, whenever you hear the sound, y'all need to bow down. Social engineering.
The book of Exodus, chapter 1 and verse 10. Come on, let us deal wisely with
them. Start at 9.
The book of Exodus, chapter 1 and verse 9. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we.
That's always the sentiment among those heathen, like we read in Psalms 83.
Yep.
This is why they're confederate against us. Come on.
Come on, let us deal wisely with them. Lest they multiply.
Right, so remember, I gave the example opening of Gad. Right, they said, let's deal wisely with them. Right, we're gonna engineer this process whereby they'll be dependent on us, and then for that dependence, they're gonna let us educate their children. We're going to socialize them to what we need them and want them to be. That's how you deal wisely with them, because that's what they're saying. Damn, they're more of us. If even if they're untrained, if we try to go to battle with them, we're outnumbered. Like, just the numbers might get us, right? So we need to deal wisely with them. He says, lest they multiply. Come on.
Lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land.
Read on.
Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh, treasure cities, Python and Ramses.
Right, so their version of social engineering was setting up taskmasters. And I think I brought this out before on the show. You read, I don't know if it's in Exodus 5 or it's a few chapters in, where it talks about the taskmasters were of our own people. So, it again, that was a strategy of social engineering as well. So historically, social engineering has been there throughout the scriptures when it came to our people. So, but you know, sometimes we'll think of Willie Lynch, sometimes we'll think of different things like that going on.
Yep.
But it really is something that's set on its axis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, Willie Lynch said, unless there's some phenomenon,
a great phenomenon,
right? Yeah. We're that phenomenon that's going to stop that axis from rolling. We're those people.
Savior shall rise
right?
up upon
We're the guys. We're the guys. Come on. Mm-hmm. Read that up here again.
Social engineering can also be understood philosophically as a deterministic phenomenon where the intentions and goals of the architects of the new social construct are real.
A lot that was said here.
It was.
A lot that was said here. So he says social engineering can also be understood philosophically as a deterministic phenomenon. Meaning, can we get the definition of phenomenon, right, so that people could really get the sense on this, all right? Let's get the definition of phenomenon.
You like how they slid in deterministic?
Well, right. I'm going to deal with phenomenon first, but deterministic is going into, like, determined outcomes, like, to get the result that they want.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what were you going to say?
No, because I'm like, determined. It's like it's like someone has a specific focus.
Yes.
And they're,
That's what it goes into when it talks about that deterministic. So let's read phenomena.
Phenomena. A fact or situation that is observed to exist or happen, especially one.
No, I don't like that one.
Webster.
No, I don't want fact or event. Hold on. Read.
Zoom in a little.
You want B? 3B?
Yeah, do 3B. I'll take that one.
Merriam-Webster, phenomenon. 3B, plural, phenomenous. An exceptional, unusual, or abnormal person, thing, or occurrence.
Right, so it's exceptional or it's unusual, all right? And it could be a person, thing, or a occurrence, right? So you can say that You know, like you'll hear them say, like, oh, this guy's a child phenom for basketball or boxing or whatever. He's a phenom,
mm-hmm.
right? That means he's exceptional. He's unusual, right? Like somebody usually isn't that good, right? Mm. It isn't that profound. So now go back to where we read deterministic. And it says social engineering can also start there.
Social engineering can also be understood philosophically as a deterministic phenomenon.
Meaning an exceptional occurrence. A profound thing that is deterministic, that basically guides and influences on a large scale like they want,
mm-hmm.
the behavior change that they're looking for. Come on.
Where the intentions and goals of the architects of the new social construct are realized.
And they really wound up with so much success in it, though it was there present throughout history. When we went into slavery, that was that deterministic phenomenon that really put it into a mold where it says they were the architects.
I was about to say the architects
of a new social construct.
Mm.
What we read about, it says the goals of the architects of the new social construct. Those architects is what we read in Psalms 83. What we read in Exodus is those other nations that said, hey, come and let us cut them off from being a nation.
Hold on. Let me see.
Even that that part, it says, where the intentions and goals of the architects of the new social construct are realized, that's that New World Order that Deacon
yes.
went to recently.
But I'm going to show you some of those smaller agendas that influence on a large scale. Get Jeremiah 31 and 22.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 22. Freedom! How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth.
A new thing. Right? Because it's all of the Lord, right?
Damn.
And it says that they were architect of a new social construct. We're going to get into social construct in a moment. A new social construct. And we got like 20 minutes. I'm going to have to come to a stopping point because we're not going to get through all of
it.
Like
10 minutes.
Well, we started a little late.
Okay.
So I'll go a little over to get the point. I'll go a little over to get the point.
Come on.
So it says, they were the architects, meaning they created, they came up with through crafty counsel of a new social construct. And we're reading here in Jeremiah 30. Here's one of those new social constructs.
Yes,
read this.
For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man.
What is that going into? Feminism, the feminist movement, that a woman shall compass a man, that the roles of the family structure would be disrupted. And in doing so, you change the social behavior and future development of a particular society.
That's heavy.
And they've done that when it comes to us. Very heavily. See, it doesn't matter that it also may impact other nations because they were confederate in this and they agreed to it. And it doesn't hit them the same way because their power is not in keeping God's laws, statutes, and commandments. That's our power. That's what gets us into rulership. If anything, these new things and these new social constructs empowers them.
Right.
It makes them retain their power, makes them retain their authority. So when we're here trying to fight against those type of things from the perspective of people fighting against us, that remnant, those saviors, all right, you're basically maintaining the status quo. You're maintaining these new social constructs. So it says a woman shall compass a man. Come on.
Verse 23, thus saith the Lord.
No, that's it. I'm sorry. That's all I wanted. So that's one thing, that feminist movement.
We right? we can stay on that.
Whew. Yeah, we sure can. We sure can.
Wow. Because of things, what does it say in Psalms 82 about our upside down?
Yes, the turning of things upside down. That's a new social construct. All right. So let's finish this part here, and then we'll go. We're going to read about social construct. We'll start with that. We'll probably wind up ending with just a social construct, Pete. But go ahead. So read that again. Social engineering can also be understood. Go ahead.
Where the intentions and goals of the architect.
No, through social engineering can also go up.
Some social. Oh, you
right
want
there.
Social engineering can also be understood philosophically as a deterministic phenomenon. Where the intentions and goals of the architects of the new social construct are realized.
Come on.
Some social engineers use the scientific method to analyze and understand social systems in order to design the appropriate methods to achieve the desired results in the human subject.
So you see, they want desired results in in the human subjects. They're talking about dealing with us in this regard. What else is on here before we go to social construct? I don't know that I want anything else. Nope, I don't need that. Yeah, let's read that. Let's read the history. Start right there.
History. The Dutch industrialist J.C. Van Marken introduced the term social engineers, in an essay in 1894.
So this is when it started to be called social engineering, all right? But the concept of it, without the name, we just saw it all the way back in the time of Egypt, right? Come on.
The idea was that modern employers needed the assistance of specialists in handling the human challenges, just as they needed technical expertise, traditional engineers, to deal with non-human challenges, materials, machines, processes. The term came to America in 1899.
Let me give you an example of how this evolved into dealing with people. So they're saying this guy came up with it to deal with the workplace and stuff, right? Why? Because what was going on in 1894? Slavery was abolished, right? So they didn't have the free labor anymore. So the human challenges that they're talking about is that we got to pay people now to do work, right? And we got to facilitate that. Let me give you a modern example, all right? If YouTube is buffering, I wonder if they're messing with us. Let me give you a modern example, all right, of what he's saying here. The challenge is we want to keep certain groups of Israelites in bondage and in their sin. Some of the non-human challenges is how do we do that? Let's introduce crack into the community. And that's and crack's going to get all this type of behavior, and then sin's going to add to sin.
Right.
And we know that that's something they did. I never got into that real deep. I think I was supposed to go into it on one show, and we ran out of time, and I never went back to it. I was going to go into the CIA introducing crack into the communities and stuff. I don't think I ever went into it.
There's a lot that we need to go into.
Bro, there's so much. I know. Sometimes I feel like there's no topics, but it's because I've, like, forgot them or they're on the back burner.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Hey,
he was talking about human subjects. So you look at it like that. They study us. Like, even with the COVID-19, when that came out, they're studying the behaviors of what actions were driven.
There's another experiment. They made a movie out of it with Forrest Whitaker and some other guy. And also, it was based on a real experiment, though it was dramatized in the movie. Bishop Jalsop has mentioned it before in some classes years ago. And, like, they put some people in the prison, and they had some pretend they were prisoners and some pretend they were the guards.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, nice people actually started to act like the prisoners and so on and so forth. I can't remember the name of that study. Something experiment. Oh, gosh, I can't remember. But it's a good example. Maybe we could use it if we could look for it, and we'll use it maybe next week when we move on. But go ahead. So the term came to America.
The term came to America in 1899 when the notion of social engineering was also launched as the name of the task of social engineer in this sense. Social engineering was the title of a small journal in 1899, renamed Social Service.
Jump to where it says with the social gospel.
With the social gospel, sociologist Edwin L. Earps, the social engineer, published during the efficiency craze of 1911 in the U.S., a new usage of term was launched that has since then became standard. Social engineering came to refer to an approach of treating social relations as a machinery to be dealt with in the manner of the technical engineer.
So they basically said, look, we got to look at these people as not human, less than human, look at it as machineries or just things, right, and that need technical engineers. We need very intelligent, data-driven people to be able to push forth things. That's the mouth of the dragon being rough, right? And the flood coming out. That flood is facilitated through the media and things like that. But what exactly, right? Remember, we saw the clip of Ex Machina. It says we need to know how they think. And in knowing how they think, we can now go ahead and continue to put these different types of things in front of them. The example that you gave that Bishop brought out, they look at Leviticus 18 and they say, okay, let's push all this in front of them because we know that's in their spirit to like these type of things, and that's going to keep them down, just like you read in Judah 5. So it all starts to come together. It all the Stanford experiment, I believe that's it.
It's just named the experiment.
That's the name of the movie.
Yep.
If you want to check that movie out, you'll see kind of social engineering in action, what they're speaking about, all right? You got to take a look at it. The Stanford experiment was the real experiment that it was based on. They actually had to shut the experiment down because people were playing their roles too good.
Oh, so this was a real thing.
The experiment really happened. The movie dramatizes it. It makes it longer than what
it was. But it was a real study.
It was a real experiment that they did.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a real experiment that they did.
That's crazy.
You got to look into it when you have time. Maybe we'll talk about it next week a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe show, we'll see. Maybe we'll show some clips. I don't know. They mess with us when we show clips, apparently.
Wow.
Okay, a prerequisite of social engineering?
A prerequisite of social engineering is a body of reliable information about the society that is to be engineered and effective tools to carry out the engineering.
Right. So you must have reliable information. You must have data. Where do you get that data from, especially in the modern times?
The internet.
The internet.
Media.
Media. All those interactions with social media. You get that data, that reliable information about the society, plus what they've already had historically,
mm-hmm.
right? Observing us in slavery and all this other stuff, that is so to be engineered and effective tools to carry out the engineering. So, hey, you know what? Let's put a TikTok.
Right.
Let's put an Instagram. Let's do Reels. Let's do this. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. And this is how we'll deliver the message that we want that's going to elicit the social change that we're looking for to keep them away from God's law, statutes, and commandments. Come on.
The availability of such information has dramatically increased within the past 100 years.
There we are. In slavery, it was the most impactful for us because why? We were illiterate. We couldn't read. We weren't allowed to study for ourselves. So they fed us the information. But then as society evolved and as this information came up, they said, damn, they might learn a thing or two. So we need to change the messaging that's going out because we can't stop the social media and where this stuff is going and the availability of this type of information. So let's give it to them in this form, right? So it says the availability has dramatically changed within the past 100 years. Come on.
Prior to the invention of the printing press, it was difficult for groups outside of the wealthy to gain access to a reliable body of information. As the media for conveying the information was prohibitively expensive.
Right, going into, what do they say? You want to hide something from an Israelite? Put it in a book.
Right.
Right, come on.
With the rise of the information age, information can be distributed and produced on an unprecedented scale. Similarly, digital technology has increased the variety and access of effective tools.
So, right, so it became more than just reading, more than just articles and search engines. Now they put videos. Now you have these little short reels that grab the attention span. Where do you think they came up with that the video should only be this long when they do those reels and things like that? Because of all the data, the reliable information that they collected.
they accomplished a diligent search?
Yes, that goes into they accomplished a diligent search. You read that real quick because that thing has a lot of levels to it. Read that real quick.
So,
and then we'll move to wrap up.
This is like
today.
60 seconds. Sometimes you're like, that's not enough. But
mm-hmm.
we have managed to put out so much information or say so much things within 60 seconds that it's enough. Even though 60 seconds might not be enough, doesn't seem enough.
No, they knew. They knew the attention span would be this much. And this.
Yeah.
You know what else you see that in? I used to watch that show Bar Rescue. And he would say, look, we need to do the menu like this because we're going to bring this guy in and he's going to show that the people's eyes track this way on a menu.
Mm.
And this is why sometimes you'll have menus that will have like a blowout.
Mm.
And they're like, and that's where you put your most featured item or your most expensive item because it'll grab the attention of the eyes. So they'll sit there and they'll have things where they do their market research and they'll track your eye movement even on how you look at a menu.
Right.
And then they'll build the menu in such a manner, like this is good places that have spent the money on it. Because you go to some place and you're like, damn, the menu sucks.
They do that at the grocery stores.
Right. And, and some places, remember, I remember in New York anyway, you would go and the menu was like pages upon pages. A lot of places you go to now, it's one thing front and back.
Mm-hmm.
Some places they only do one.
Yep.
And they keep it that way. And then it tracks a certain way, the way the eyes move, so that you can bring attention to the things that they want you to basically get.
Yeah, well, they do that at the grocery stores. They do that.
Hey, I think it was Deacon Ithan that was saying it recently in a class? Like, free will's a joke. It's a construct that doesn't exist.
Mm. Right. Right.
Hey, you know, they got the QR codes now, too.
Yeah, the QR codes, another means, right? So that goes into what we say. It says the variety and access of effective tools, not just tools, but they're effective tools.
So I was watching how they do market research at the grocery stores. They do those ones at the end of the aisle. Mm-hmm. I forgot what they're called. But that's where they put their things that, hey, we want to sell as much of this as we can. Let's put them at the front of the aisles, right? And then you got the – because of certain people, certain height, all right, let's put the good brands right there at eye level.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other brands that we don't sell as much, put them lower, and then the other stuff. So it's all.
That's why they got the things that you know you need, like milk and eggs, in the back of the store.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they do that too. Like they the cereal all... aisles, the healthy stuff is like high up. The junk is low because kids' eyes are low, and that's what they're gonna look to grab and all of
yeah.
that stuff.
So they do all.
They'll put those necessities in the back so that you have to walk through more of the store. Hey, there was a store. I might have mentioned this before. There was a store in New York called Stu Leonard's. And it's a dope store. It's like a really good store. They have like a whole farmer's market theme and everything like that. Super expensive. Really nice store though, like real quality stuff. And I remember the first time I went there, it's set up like no joke. It's not a perception.
Mm-hmm.
It's a maze. You know how most supermarkets is open aisles and you could jump to an aisle?
Right.
You have to walk the whole store. They got arrows showing you which way to walk.
What's it called?
Stu Leonard's. You have to walk the whole store.
Literally,
they're guiding you.
You
the
have,
process.
You know, here and there they have a little cutout,
yeah.
but it's a long way back to get back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to walk, and everything's lined up that you can't. It's not you can't do no shortcuts. It's a maze.
So it's like the IKEA of grocery stores.
It's like It's kind of like IKEA, but even IKEA got a little more. You can walk backwards in IKEA and go back the way you came. You're not supposed to do that, Stu Leonard's. And it's so set up that way that even the customers will police that thing and be like, yo, you're walking against the flow of traffic type of thing.
Mm.
Yep. And they situate things and stuff like that way. Read that last sentence again, similarly digital technology.
You want the script?
Read this first and then we'll finish with the script.
Where
similarly.
I don't see it.
There it is.
Similarly, digital technology has increased the variety and access of effective tools. However, it has also created questionably reliable bodies of information.
Meaning is so much that a lot of it is bullshit,
right.
Basically.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as reliable when you go through those sources and that thing. But read what we just said about a diligent search, right? So they knew and they saw and they evolved with the mediums of what was out there for them to use in these last days. Come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 64 and verse 5. They encouraged themselves in an evil matter.
Right, they encouraged. They're like, oh, this looks promising. We can do this. Let's do these reels. Let's do that. Hey, listen, I got this that we can do and put in front of them, right, as part of that crafty council. That when it says they, it's talking about all that were Confederate. Come on.
They commune of laying snares privily, they say.
They commune. That means they were Confederate. Like you read in Psalms 83, they say, listen, they're going to think that this is just this, this, and this, but this is going to be a snare to them. This is going to be a stumbling block to them. Right? Come on.
They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent
that goes in. They search out iniquities, meaning they want to know what is sin for us.
Mm-hmm.
Threat assessments.
Yes.
They want to know what is sin for us so that then they can continue to put sin in front of us so that we behave continually in a sinful manner as a people because they want it on a large scale. Read it again.
They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search.
They do a diligent search for all types of things that they can put in front of us. The variety and access of effective tools that helps push their agenda.
Mm.
So this was just, I mean, I didn't even get into, we didn't go into social construct. We didn't go into, no, I didn't even go into my notes yet.
Yeah, I saw that.
This was all freestyle. There was no notes. My notes are here. I didn't even get to, so I got notes for next week, Lord's will. We're going to talk about social construct, and then we'll spend some time on social behavior and that reflective and impulsive behavior. We might run some of this back, some of these articles. I'm afraid to show that clip again because it seems like it got us messed up and shut down.
Well, on Facebook,
right.
It always does.
So this was meant to be a one show, but I had a feeling with everything that I was bringing up, and I figured we'd have some good dialogue that
someone had said earlier, they said, what a very – a very powerful hour, something like that. I'm trying to find it. Let me find it.
Oh, yeah? Where was
it?
That was it.
I think it was in Phoenix page on the Phoenix. Oh, very powerful hour. All praises to the Most High. Samuel Israel, all praises. All praises to the Most High.
Well, that's the show for this week. We're doing Spanish or English on Saturday?
Spanish.
So we got La Hora de Poder exclusively at the Lost 144K on Facebook on Saturday, 11 a.m. Arizona time. Lord's will next week. We'll be back. Same bat time, same bat. That's the old Batman show. You don't remember that?
No.
That's what they used to say with the
same bat time.
Adam West. Same bat time, same bat place. Yeah, I know. That's the pow, boom, Batman show.
And we make up our
plus. Hey, I don't know how many of y'all stay on for the closing song, but that thing is flame. That's from the Northern Kingdom album, La Undécima Hora. The intro song is from La Undécima Hora.
The outro song is from
La Undécima Hora.
That's right. Shout out to the Undécima Hora brothers.
Shout out to the brothers and sisters that did La Undécima Hora.
Ooh.
All right. That's the Northern Kingdom album. Listen, y'all got to put some respect on the Northern Kingdom album.
That's
because
right.
Southern Kingdom be dropping stuff. The whole nation be support. I have not seen love for La Undécima Hora.
Mm.
And that thing,
fire.
That album is great.
Fire.
That is a good album. Y'all need to put some respect on it.
And they got to
buy it, Spotify it, whatever you need to do. That album is hot fire. It's not all Spanish. They did some Spanglish for y'all. Bro, I'm mad, bro. Hey, I'm sorry. I got to put him on blast.
Speak your truth.
I know a lot of people love Captain Get a Liar. I was in New York, and we were talking, and I came up. I forgot how it came up, but I was mad. Because I said, bro, how come a Southern Kingdom album dropping? Everybody all over it. Yo, there's flames all over social media. The Northern Kingdom album dropped. Everybody got a little excited for 4 minutes at the end of class, and nobody talking about it. So he said, nah, man, I'm with it, Cap. I'm with it. I said, word? I said, why don't you help spread it? I said, what's your favorite song?
Crickets.
He said, La Luna Nueva. I said, you cannot pick that song because that was the release song.
Goddamn.
So I told him my favorite is Agua.
So he
said, yeah, my favorite is Agua. I said, man.
Hey,
put some respect on the Northern Kingdom album.
Hey, D, right. Officer Ashaya, as my witness, I be blasting that album.
You know what? He does blast that album.
That's literally my favorite album.
He just doesn't know the name.
I got to follow up with Officer Eliab. I told him, I said, look, you should put the lyric sheet out. We can just give it away for free on a PDF of the lyrics in Spanish and then the lyrics in English.
Translate it, yeah.
And then people will... That's what they used to do back in the day when I used to buy a tape because it was cassette tape.
That is true.
And it had the lyrics folded inside.
That is true.
A lot of the album.
Yeah.
So I said, bro, being that it's a different language album, it's great that you did the video with translation. I said, maybe if you... I mean, a lot of it's English, too. It's not just all Spanish.
No.
I said, but if you put the lyrics out, maybe people would really feel how good... Because the lyrics are really good, too.
Right.
Like, it's very well thought out. Like, it's a good album. It's a good ass album.
That's
put some respect
right.
on it.
Hey,
goodness
before
goodness.
We head out, shout out to Sister Keisha Stevenson. She was supporting us. Y'all, she was the whole broadcast. She was going into like, share, subscribe. So all praise to the Most High. Thank you, Sister. And also one more. Nashawn Israel also telling the people subscribe to the IUIC Phoenix channel. So all praise to the Most High.
Yes. Like and subscribe to the IUIC Phoenix. We had a little bump last time we put it out. Now we're at 11.6. You know, we trying to get to 15K, all right?
Get them up.
Like, subscribe.
Thank you.
All right, that's the show. Listen to that closing song, right? That closing song from La Undécima Hora. Right?
Fire.
Una Nación, One Nation. That's a fire song, all right? With that, we say Shalom.
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 Just a little bit. I'll be playing it at the gym. It wouldn't be Israel without Mexicans, black love, brown pride. So
what was the other
the
movie? You have the, I watched that one.
And we've been kings since birth, we put the kingdom first, and they gonna get this work, we was chosen, not because we the most of the people. Few in numbers, but we over the people. We gods of this earth. We ain't supposed to be equal. Stop playing. You emotional people. The good gotta triumph over the evil. So my foot on the throat of the eagle. Their tongues will confess that we the people. Cause my nation ain't never been feeble. For the Southern Kingdom. From the
This
was the Northern Kingdom.
We got
our side. This was the Southern Kingdom. From the Sharala.
Oh, I finished it. Yeah, I finished it.
I haven't finished it.
You know, I really don't think that, like the past 2 weeks I have it, but when I do get to get it in, you know, I get it
in. Gotta stay away from Satan changing my mind, friend. Yeah, you know we die in daily, turning it up on a feast day. Put this on replay, no longer divided cause we all
one. For the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Sharala. One nation. For the Northern Kingdom, we got our side.
One nation.
For the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Sharala.
What the hell is this?